Today in Moscow, the U.S. and a half dozen countries are holding a summit about Afghanistan and how best to end the war that the U.S. launched almost 20 years ago. To discuss the prospects for peace and the Biden administration's Afghanistan policy, we turn to Nick Schifrin. So, hello, Nick. So tell us, what do we know about what's being discussed in Moscow, and how does that fit in with the Biden administration's approach?
Moscow's hosted these kinds of talks for years, Judy, but U.S. officials hope that these talks begin an international diplomatic push that leads to a peace deal in Afghanistan and a U.S. withdrawal ahead of an impending deadline. The talks brought the American, the Russians, the Chinese, the Qataris, an Afghan delegation, including former President Hamid Karzai, and the Taliban around one table. And the U.S. is trying to rally international opinion in order to pressure the Taliban to agree to a ceasefire and the Afghan government to step down. In a draft peace proposal first reported by Tolo News, the U.S. is calling for replacing the current government with a transitional peace government, a new constitution written by a committee that is almost half Taliban, new Taliban lawmakers, new Supreme Court that is almost half Taliban, and a national ceasefire. And Secretary of State Tony Blinken wrote a letter to Afghan President Ashraf Ghani, urging Ghani to develop constructive positions, and ended with an unmistakable threat. The United States has not ruled out any option. We are considering the full withdrawal of our forces by May the 1st. That is the withdrawal date the U.S. and the Taliban agreed to last February under President Trump, so long as the Taliban talked peace and prevented al-Qaeda from having a safe haven in Afghanistan. The implication of it all, Judy, the U.S. is asking for the Afghan president and the government to step down before a negotiated peace deal.
So tell us, how is the Afghan government responding to that?
A senior Afghan official tells me they welcome the international diplomatic push, but point out that the U.S. has not delivered a promised reduction in violence, and also calls the Biden approach fast food, as in it's forcing everybody to consume something that is too quick to succeed. And President Ghani himself has insisted that if he steps down, he will do so with a new election, and he criticized the new U.S. approach.
Any institution can write a fantasy on a piece of paper and suggest a solution for Afghanistan. I advise those who go to this or that gate to gain power is that political power in Afghanistan has a singular gate, and that is the vote of the Afghan people.
Senior U.S. officials tell me that that is not good enough, that the government must agree to step down without a new election. As for the Taliban, Judy, they reject the part of the peace proposal that requires them to have a national ceasefire before a peace agreement.
And Nick, tell us more about what is behind this push by the Biden administration, and how are our analysts on the outside judging this?
President Trump pushed for as rapid a withdrawal from Afghanistan as possible, and that led to that 2020 deal that required the U.S. to withdraw by May the 1st. And senior Biden officials say that that has left them in an almost impossible position. They could abide by the deal and withdraw, but that would reduce U.S. leverage over peace talks. And Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, recently told National Security Advisors it would also lead to the disintegration of the Afghan government, or at least a very violent civil war. Or the U.S. could ignore the deadline, but that would lead the Taliban to resume attacks on U.S. troops. And this week, President Biden criticized the deal, suggesting that it had boxed him into a corner.
That was not a very solidly negotiated deal that the former president, worked out.
But May 1st is tough.
Could happen, but it is tough.
So the administration is pushing for this diplomatic progress to make progress in the next few weeks. But analysts say that is not a lot of time. And they say that a provisional government would likely be too weak to actually survive. Take a listen to the International Crisis Group's Laurel Miller, who urges the Biden team to support the current government.
Leaving behind an Afghan government as dysfunctional and weak as it may be, but that's still standing, is better for Afghanistan, better for U.S. interests, than leaving behind a cobbled together transitional government that has no real foundation in consensus, that would not survive an American withdrawal or the collapse of a peace process, and that would simply lead to the collapse of the Afghan state as we know it. I don't think a genuine peace process, which takes time, can be replaced by a quickie peace process that tries to take shortcuts.
Miller and other analysts have other ideas, including a six-month extension of the withdrawal deadline to try and make more diplomatic progress, or putting the UN in charge of peace talks. They say they do not want the U.S. to stay in Afghanistan indefinitely. But the fact is, Judy, Afghan security forces admit they cannot secure their own country without U.S. help. The Taliban has provincial capitals surrounded, and a campaign of assassinations have left many Afghans feeling very unsafe. But the diplomatic push will continue, Judy, even if it's hard to succeed. Next month, there will be an even higher level summit about Afghanistan in Turkey among foreign ministers.
No easy answers here. Nick Schifrin, covering it all for us. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you.